of you that are visiting with us today, welcome, and we hope you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Appreciate all the brethren that have taken part in our service up to this point. And we all recognize that the Veterans Day, and what a wonderful day it is, that we can remember those who have been in America, who are Americans, and who have fought for our country, and we certainly want to remember them on this special day. God is so good to us to give us this opportunity each Sunday, if we have, and be able to come and gather together. Today I want to talk with you about a statement made in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. This connects with what, I'll think of his name in a minute, Chris. Chris Moss read a while ago. But anyway, connects with Matthew chapter 20. Now, look what he's saying. Paul is writing, he's concluding in chapter 15 concerning the resurrection. And what a wonderful, thrilling thing it is to listen to his words. He says, therefore, everybody, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, that's a statement that we want to reflect upon and to remember that it is so true that what you do for the Lord will always be remembered. And someone has suggested maybe we need a sign in the front of the building. Wanted. Jesus is saying, and wants workers in his vineyard. Notice in Matthew chapter 20, the Bible says it's early in the morning. And this fellow goes out and what is he doing? He's got some labor in his vineyard. And he goes out and he agrees with all those that he's calling for a penny a day. And he sent them out to go to work. Third hour of the day. Goes out, he finds others. And he agrees with them. And he asks them the question, why stand you idle in the marketplace? And they said, no, nobody had called him. Or no one had hired them. Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. Notice it. And this man is really needing workers. And this man is doing everything he can to get people busy. And he goes out even the 11th hour. He found others standing idle. Why stand you here all the day? They said, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. One thing you don't want to forget. Don't forget, they're going to get what's right. Whatever's right, the master's going to do what's right. And they're going to get what is right. Well, when evening's come, they've been working, they've been serving. The Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour. Guess what? He's given them that which is right. And they agreed with about a penny. He gave them a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, this is not right. I'm paraphrasing. We worked all day long. And all we're getting is exactly what these people got whenever they only worked 1 hour. And these last have wrought but 1 hour. But thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. What they're saying is, that's not reasonable. What did the master say? The master said, I will give you that which is right. Now look what he says. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Why, didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Isn't that what we agreed on? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. That's my right. I have that right. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called but few chosen. Grumbling. You know what? God wants people to work. He wants everybody. In Matthew chapter 11, 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Men and women, young people, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Notice though, in the working in the vineyard of the Lord, you and I are called by the Lord. And what a great thing it is to be called, to be chosen, to work. Do you ever pick up stuff like that before? Oh, yeah, I remember when I was in Shelbyville, Tennessee at Al Bethel. A man up there had a farm. And he told me one day, he said, now I'm going to show you what real work is. And he said, come out. And he said, we're going to bale some hay or get some hay. Boy, I never worked so hard in my life. And he even put me up in the barn, and they were, oh, throwing that hay in, and I was supposed to carry back a little further. Wow, I knew right away I didn't want to be doing that for the rest of my life. But anyway, we had a good time with it, but it's a lot of work. You ever been on a typewriter? Ever seen a typewriter? Have you ever sat at a typewriter and typed with your fingers, with your hands? When I was at David Lipscomb College, I, of course, before that time, I'd spent about 5 years with the Globe Paper Company in Cleveland, Ohio, and I typed many of those years and typing up all the invoices. Back in those days, that's about the way they did. You had it done. And boy, I got proficient in doing that. My fingers would work, and I'm telling you what, I'm bragging a little bit, but I know when I went into the class at David Lipscomb, I took a class in typewriting because I really wanted an A on something anyway. But so one of the professors, I think they were maybe about 60 in the class or something like that, and I was the only male in the class. Boy, I tell you what. Anyway, he got up and he said, now you got to do it and told how many words you had to type in order to get an A, and I think he said 80 to 100 or something like that. But he said, I know one person, we'd already talked before, but he said, I know one person that's in this class is going to get an A. And everybody thought, now I wonder who in the world that is, and pretty soon he said, and it's the only male member in the class. And you know what all those women and girls did as they turned it? I never have been booed so much in all my life. I mean, they turned around and they're boo, boo. But I got my A, and I was... But I'm telling you what I'm saying is this. People pay back in those days good money for somebody to work at a typewriter, and that is work too. I don't know how many fingers I've moved in preparing PowerPoint slides. That, my friend, is work. God wants us to work. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, remember this. For we are laborers together with God. That ought to be enough. Challenge everybody in this building. You're working with God. You are God's husband. You are God's building. In Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16, especially look what he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You've got something to do. Action. No wonder we read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, there Paul describes a person as being a workman when he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 3, again, we work with him because we then as workers together with him, that is with God, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And give him no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. We are to serve Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. for you serve the Lord Christ. That's who we serve. What are we doing? We're remembering what Paul said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What? Do everything that you do by His authority, but do it. Work it. Serve Him. You're serving King Jesus. In the book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 17, a beautiful statement. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish Thou with. Let us use our hands to glorify God in doing that which brings Him glory. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? 1 Peter 3:13. And when you are working together with God, God said, you will be blessed. I will bless you. God furnishes us directions, what He wants to do. Isn't that wonderful that we can read this scripture that many of you have memorized? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has furnished you with everything He wants you to do to please Him. And the big thing is, are we willing to do it? When I turned, and I read in John 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. I want to know what that is. What is it? Here's the work. The work what? The work of God. What is the work of God? That you believe on Him whom He has sent. That you do what He tells you. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. God supplies everything we need, instructions. But you got to believe Him, and even believing upon Him is the work of God. When we die, we have no more time to serve the Lord as far as working. For in John 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work. God wants us to always abound in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Not sometime, not sporadically. He wants us always, every day, 7 days a week. Doing what? Doing what He instructs us to do. Our work is for every time in our lives. Notice, if you will, in the parable that Jesus gave. Early in the hours of the day, He comes out, He hires people, go to work. Third hour of the day, here's new ones, go to work. But also others, you keep on working. The sixth hour of the day, new ones again, go to work. Others, you keep on working. The ninth hour of the day, new ones, go to work. Others, keep on working. Don't give up. I've agreed with you to pay you. And even at the 11th hour of the day, new ones, go to work. And others, you keep on working, working in the vineyard of the Lord. Laboring, working for the Master. Back in April the 8th, I believe it was this year, I asked the question, you want to be a worker for the Lord? How much have you accomplished since that time? Are we really busy, busier now than we've ever been before? Let's all of us now make a decision. We're going to grow, and we're going to grow together. We're going to put forth God's will, and we're going to do His will, because we are workers in the kingdom of God. Let's grow together in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You need a road map. You want to make sure that you're on the right road. Make sure that you're right. And make sure that you're doing the right work. And you keep on doing that work and never, ever give up. I want to suggest to you that Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Ah, I'd rather have Jesus than anyone had you. But we prove to Him that we want to do His will by doing His will, by keeping His will. What a joy that is, abounding in the work of the Lord. The Christian life is the life filled with work for the Master. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. What the greatest privileges are in order to work. What the great responsibilities are in doing His work. But the untold worth and reward is worth every bit when you serve Jesus Christ, our Lord. My beloved brethren, Paul said. He talked to brethren, Christians, us, who are children of God. It's not addressed just to elders only. Sure, they've got to set the right example, 1 Peter 5, verse 3. But elders in their work are to encourage us by their leadership. And it's not addressed just to deacons only. Though the word deacon means servant. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Every deacon should be busy, active, and ready to do as the elders want them to do to help them. And it's not just addressed to preachers only, but every preacher better be. He better be preaching the truth. He better be doing everything he can to serve the Lord. Because you see, God is holding him responsible for the proclamation of His Word. It's addressed to my beloved brethren. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you be steadfast. You be unmovable. Always, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you see, as all of us who are Christians realize, we have to give an account for the talents that we have, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. One was given so many, and the other was given something. But there was one that only was given one talent. But that's all God expected of him. Just using that one talent, he didn't even do that. Just like the physical body, each member of the spiritual body of Christ has a function. You have, I do, all of us, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I thought about the various workers that God gave us a good record of in the Bible. You take Paul. Wasn't he a great fellow? Wouldn't you have loved to sit and listen to him preach? Wouldn't you have loved to see him act, walk, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he could write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also follow Christ. What's he doing? He's leading. He's leading people to whom? To Christ. Why? That's where he's going. That's what he's doing. Timothy, Paul said, I don't have anybody like him. I have no man like-minded. Philippians 2 and verse 20. He was so devoted to serving the Lord with Paul. Lois and Eunice. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. He said, I am persuaded that the faith that was in them is also in you. Why? Because in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You've learned them from Lois. You've learned them from Eunice. You have learned them from people, women in your life that mean so much, Timothy. Dorcas. Ah, what a woman. She was such a busy person. Making clothes for the poor. Can you imagine? When she died, they're weeping. And guess what they're doing? They're showing the clothes that she made for them. No wonder you need people like that in the kingdom of God. And thank God we have people like that. Bounding always in the work of the Lord. Always let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Colossians 4, verse 6. Always abounding. Always rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Be happy. Look at it again. Always obey. Why in Philippians 2 and verse 12, there Paul tells us that we are to do what? We are to obey God in everything. And no wonder in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Always be ready to give an answer. You got people asking you, why does the Church of Christ do this? Or why do the preachers preach this or the other? You study it. Learn it. Find out. Ask them. Remember in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. Be ready. Why? Because you've studied. And when you have to go back and study more, study it. My sister last night, I was talking to her, my youngest sister over in Russellville, and they had a class for today. They love to do that to me, by the way, since I preach and all. They love to give me really questions that are difficult questions. And they were studying on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And she said, Guy, I don't know which to put down for the answer. Would you help me out? And I read it for her and I said, what do you got down? Well, she said, I've got Paul, that he was the one that was caught up in the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I said, well, that's what I would put down too. Oh, she said, I'm glad. And who was that man? I'm telling you, relatives can really, they can help you out a little bit sometimes. Anyway, and she asked me, she says, who was that man, though, that didn't die? Well, I said, who do you have down? She said, I put down Enoch, but I'm not sure about it. And I said, well, Hebrews 11 says that. That's how you know it. Study with your family. Study. You study. You do what you can to be able to give an answer. Always an answer to those that ask you of the reason that is in you with meekness and fear. And be always ready to be instant, in season, out of season. That means young as well as old. Christian service must be abounding service, and that means it's got to be willing, but you won't ever do anything I won't either. We're just not going to be accomplished unless we're willing to do it. When the master went out to call, even those in the 11th hour, they had to be willing. And you know, abounding service carries with the idea of being real fervent, being full of zeal. I put down here, red hot. Yeah. Being a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Titus 2 and verse 14. And you know what? You'll never abound in the work of the Lord if abounding service doesn't include your heart. Look what God says in Ephesians 6, verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Can't beat that. You love it. You love to do the will of the Lord. And abounding service is number one. He's number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Remember, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, may the Lord help us all to do the work that we can, to serve Him faithfully, so someday, when it's all over, what a reward. How wonderful it would be to be with Him. If you're not a Christian this morning, come now, obey the gospel by believing in Jesus with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, and being buried with your Lord in baptism. And if you're a child of God, you haven't been faithful, ask God to forgive you. Let's be busy serving our God, so heaven will be our reward. If you're subject anyway to the invitation, come now and obey Him while together we stand.